I'm Jo Muirhead, and this is the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast, a podcast for health professionals who want to know how we continue to serve our patients and our clients without sacrificing ourselves to the work. More than a conversation on making money or just burning out, this podcast has been created to progress conversations that we need to have to ensure that we know who we are so that we can serve those who need our help, so that we can actually be the significant difference in the world. Well, hello again. Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. This is Jo, and I'm looking forward to chatting to you again today. How are you liking the episodes of the podcast so far? Can you do me a favor? Can you make sure that you have taken the time to write a review, given us a rating, and shared the podcast with at least one other friend? Maybe you've even taken a screenshot of it and you shared it to your social stories. That would be really awesome. Because the more people who can find this podcast, the more conversations we can be having, the more we get to look forward to as health professionals in our future. Because this is not just a podcast about making more money. This is a podcast about future-proofing health professionals so that we can stick it out, do the work without it costing us our lives. Because it's a very real thing. This work, taking people's lives. Today, we're going to be talking about, what are the things that you need to actually practice being an entrepreneurial clinician? So there are three main concepts that we need to think about, okay? And they've all got to work together. So you can't have one without the other two. And you can't just pick and choose which one of these three you want to work with. You actually need to do all three. And you need to work out how all three fit together. Because if you can't do that, you're going to be the sort of person who is chasing tactics. And you're going to burn yourself out because you'll be chasing the next marketing hack or the next shiny thing. Or you'll be getting on the next silver bullet bandwagon. Or you'll be chasing the next level of certification. And none of that on its own is going to help you be the type of clinician who looks after themselves while they're looking after others. So let's get stuck into it. The first thing, I kid you not, the first place you need to start is you need to know yourself. This might be a fairly unpopular opinion, but I cannot tell you how surprised I am at the lack of social and emotional intelligence I find in health professionals. The lack of insight. Now, I get why this happens. We are very good at working with pathology. We are very good at working with what's broken. That is where our neural pathways have been refined and honed, that we sometimes forget how to function in a non-pathological environment or a non-clinical environment. That's cool. But we need to understand who we are and who we are right now and who we want to be into the future. Because it is not okay for us to be working with clients that we're not great fits for. We might have to do it for a little time. We've all cut our teeth on that, but that gets to a point where we can start going, you know what? I, Jo Muirhead, am not a good fit for working with people with drug and alcohol or any addiction. I'm not good at it. I'm not a good fit for it. I am too judgy McJudgy. And I say that with all honesty and all transparency because you put me, someone like me, with a person with an active addiction, that person isn't going to feel empathy. That person is going to feel judgment, regardless of how hard I work at not doing that. I'm also not a good fit for working clinically with kids. I'm too parental. They don't need that in their life. They get enough of that. I'm just not a good fit for working with younger people. I can do kind of young adults, late teenage to young adults, but it's not an easy fit for me. So knowing what I'm not a good fit for is brilliant. Knowing what I am a good fit for, that was harder for me to refine. But that comes down to me knowing myself, knowing what I like, knowing what I don't like, knowing how I like to work, knowing the types of clients that push the buttons that they shouldn't be pushing when they're the ones needing the clinical treatment. Understanding myself and where I'm at and what my needs are, what my family's needs are right now. Where am I headed in this thing called career or life? those questions inform for us as health professionals the type of work we want to do. It is rare that you ever meet somebody excelling in this work or looking successful in this work, and they can't tell you who they are. Now, this is not to say that our work becomes enmeshed in who we are. Right? That is not the conversation I am having here. That is work addiction. That is bad. We can talk about that into the future. What I am talking about right now is the what I needed from my work, how I needed to turn up to my work, how I wanted to be rewarded in my work, how I wanted to be fulfilled by my work at the age of 30 is quite different to the needs I have at the age of 50. It was very different when I became a single mum to when my son left home. These are the things I know I talk about with clients when they're coming to see me all the time. I will often ask the question, how old are you? And some people look quite affronted, and that is why I'm asking that question, because I'm trying to get a construct in my head about your stage of life. And then I'll ask questions about who else is in your home? Who else do you have responsibility for? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean little people anymore. That could mean parents or grandparents, or you might have somebody in your home that is a foster child or foster human. Understanding what you need from yourself and your world and therefore your work goes a long way for you to be creative, for you to then work out what you need from your work. So if we don't know this about ourselves, it's not just about who's your ideal client. We don't know what we need from our work. We are missing the whole point of being in private practice and probably the whole point of being a health professional. I haven't thought about that enough, so we might park that idea for future episodes. So you've got to know who you are. And you're going to know what you want from your work and from your business and from your career. You're going to be able to answer those questions. And they're going to change. They should change. Then we want to know who we serve. Because once we know who we are, we can start talking into who we want to serve. Because you know the people that light you up. You know the problems that light you up. You know the solutions that light you up. You know the environments that light you up. I could not work inside of corrective services. That would terrify me. But some people thrive there. Some people are amazing. I'm working with a client at the moment who's been there for years and years and years. She's incredible. She's one of the most well-adjusted humans I've ever met. Me? Holy crap, I'd be talking to all of you EMDR therapists twice a day, every day. So I know who I serve because I know who I am. And I'm comfortable with that. And I don't feel guilty about it because I know there are other people in the world, other people who are better at working with kids than me, other people who are better working with marriages and relationships than me, other people who are better at working with people in active addiction than me. I know that. And if I can resource them and if I can send these clients to the people who are better at it than me, then gosh, they're going to get the better treatment. I am going to feel better. They're going to get what they need. The person doing the work with that client is going to feel fulfilled. See how this works. It is awesome. This is how we all work together because there's no need for scarcity. There's no need for comparison because how I do my work over here, it's probably very different to how you do your work over there because guess what? We're different. And that's what we, all us coaches, are trying to explain when we say comparison's real, we get it, but it's not necessary. It creates an emotional load that we actually don't need to carry. And let's face it, this work is hard enough without us giving ourselves extra things to be worried about. Hey, entrepreneurial clinicians, Jo here. Did you know that your body can't tell the difference between good stress and bad stress? This is why when we've often had a great time, been to an exciting event or done something really fun, we can come away exhausted. And there's a reason for this. Many of us are on the dopamine hit train going from event to event, and this may not be helping you. The excitement you may feel from not being at work, the inspirational ideas that you plan for but can't execute, the high-intensity connections that will be lost when you return to real life, and the hypervigilance you may feel about coming back to work will all deplete your energy reserves. And if you don't know this, you may come back to work thinking there is something catastrophically wrong with you. And that's what I used to think before I learned about the true meaning of energy management. You are tired, probably a bit bored, maybe sick of being worn out by your work. So you're seeking the next dopamine hit event. So please know that even though you're doing this, it is not sustainable. So if you want to be able to attend your next amazing event, but then have the energy resources you need to be able to keep doing your best work, then please get yourself to my Energy Activator Workshop. This is happening on March 28 and 29, 2023, depending on where you are in the world. It's not a two-day event. It's a three-hour workshop. I want you at this event so that I can show you how you can get most out of any event that you go to with energy left over so that you can take all that inspiration home and be able to do something with it. So who's joining me? Check out the links in the show notes for how you can register and attend the Energy Activator Workshop. So when we know who we are, and then we know who we're best able to serve, including those that we're interested in, we can then create a client-clinician match. It makes it so much easier for us to engage with clients, to sell clients, to onboard clients, for clients to stick around, for clients to want to stay when they feel that level of connection that we haven't had to work so hard at because it just comes out of who we are. That's kind of the essence of attraction. Just be yourself. So who you are is just as important as who you serve, because we want to get this client-clinician match. That is a beautiful synergy, that match. And that is a wonderful thing for both the clinician and the client to experience. But the thing we need to do next is we've got to be able to communicate in a way that these clients can, or prospective clients at this point in time, can understand us, which means letting go of all your jargon, all of it. No, there is nobody out there, unless they're a peer, researching how to CBT my PTSD. They're going, help me stop feeling scared. Or they're researching, I want to kill myself. Or they're researching, when does therapy help? How do I know? Because I actually checked up on this before I recorded this episode today to see the types of hits that are coming in from a Google search. And it terrified me when I saw the numbers of hits where people actually are talking about ending their own lives. So we need to be able to communicate with prospective clients. And what we're very good at doing is communicating with prospective clients as though they're clients. We will use clinical language, clinical phraseology, clinical concepts. We don't think we're doing it, but we do, but they're not clients yet. You've got a lot of education to do before they actually become a client. And it's not just education about their condition. It's education about how you are the solution to the problem that they are seeking. So we've got to learn how to communicate with them, aka marketing, aka connection. And you can do this without being unethical. You can do this without breaching any of your code of conduct requirements, just by becoming informed and educated on who they are. You need to understand that better than they understand it, because you need to know that you are the solution to the problem they are seeking. Because when you know who you serve and how to connect and communicate with them, then you have a common language. Right? Nobody else really talks in acronyms the way we do. Prospective clients aren't going to do that. Well, they might, but they really don't have the right understanding. And then we get burned because they don't stick around because we haven't taken them through an educative process on what it's like to work with us, what it's like to have that problem that they're seeking a solution for resolved. Because when you know exactly who you are, and you know how to communicate in a way that your ideal clients or your prospective clients can understand you, then you become the go-to person or the sought-after expert. This is where you can turn up in Facebook local communities and add incredible value, not drive by drop a link marketing, add incredible value. So people start seeking you out as somebody to talk about mental health or joint problems or working from home or tech neck or your discord in the family. This is how you do that, by knowing who you are, who you serve, and how to communicate in a way that those that you serve can understand you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to make everything extremely simple. It means you need to understand them well enough to know where they're using language, how they're using language, what language is attractive to them. The reason why I don't work with young people, they speak in a language I don't understand. And I end up looking like another parent. I look like an ill-informed parent. They're not going to trust me. So when you know who you are and who you serve, we have this beautiful client-clinician match. When we know who we serve and how to communicate to these people in a way that they can understand us, then we have a common language. And when we know who we are and we know how to communicate with prospective clients, then we can become a go-to person, a sought-after expert. And this, people, is how we become an entrepreneurial clinician, because we stop asking, what am I treating? And we're always asking, how can I add value? One of the biggest mindset shifts we can make as clinicians who want to actually practice entrepreneurial healthcare. We want to be able to meet clients where they're at, which means we need to be in tune with them, which means we need to stop diagnosing them when we're marketing to them. It's a really big issue in healthcare and healthcare marketing. We've got to move away from diagnosis. Diagnosis is what happens when they've given you money, when they've given you time, when they've said, yes, I want to come and see you. You can't diagnose anybody from your marketing content, but you can share with them the problems that they're having and the solution that you can offer at a really high level that enables them to go, I want that solution. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. So if you want to know more about how you can know yourself, know who you serve, and learn how to communicate in such a way that people are wanting to work with you, then you need to join You, the Entrepreneurial Clinician. You just do, because that's what I do there. And I help you do it. I walk alongside you. We work this stuff out together. I don't leave you alone. It's not a self-paced course. It's a coaching community. There are trainings for you to do. There is feedback for you to get. There is practice for you to have. And I would love to have you as a part of this community. So check out the show notes, because you'll find a link to it there. Otherwise, I will be in your ears in the next episode of You, the Entrepreneurial Clinician. And that is another episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician podcast done. I just want to say a big thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. Debbie, Annie, Vince, and Jen, you are my A-team. Without you, I couldn't make this work. And in the spirit of respect, please ask for and receive permission before you use any of my intellectual property, because you know what? Not giving appropriation to creators is just not cool. Until next episode, go be your awesome self.